Good afternoon. We're here from Partick Free Church of Scotland, continuing, and we're here to bring you something of the good news of the gospel of our Lord and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, to you this afternoon. Please stop by. Please consider what we say. We do believe that all we will bring to your attention is from the Word of God. It's from the Bible. It is true to say, I think, today that many people will totally discount Christianity. But we're inclined to believe that they've never really examined it. They've never really gone into it. We have to admit that much of organized Christianity is indeed a shambles. But the Christianity that we find in the Bible is indeed life-changing. It is from heaven. It is divine. And it is with that intention that we come before you this afternoon. And we want to try to bring something of the authentic Christian gospel to your ears, because we do believe that most people don't go to the house of God, and most people have never really heard the authentic Christian gospel ever proclaimed to them. Of course, the Christian gospel is rooted and grounded in a person. It is rooted and grounded in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. There would be no Christianity without Christ. He is the sum, the substance, and the very essence of Christianity. And we want to really tell you something about this individual today, because we can only tell you so much. There is so much to tell you about Christ, that we would be here all day, every day. There is so much about this unique individual. So what can we tell you about the eternally begotten Son of God? Well, he's the one who has come from heaven. This is one of the things that makes Christianity unique, because the very center of Christianity is a person. It is a person who has come from heaven. As you know, there are multitudes of religions in the world, and they're all promising ultimately to take you to heaven. They're all promising that you'll be right with God. They're all promising that you will have a happy end. But none can do that, because the Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely unique. He alone has come from heaven. He knows what heaven is like. No other religion can say this. Muhammad was never in heaven. Christ, the eternally begotten Son of God, came down from heaven. And we want to ask ourselves, as we pass by, as we think on these things, why did the eternally begotten Son of God, why did he leave the realms of glory? Why did he leave heaven, where he was worshipped, where he was adored, where he was served? Why did he leave that glorious place to come to this sin-cursed world, to be born in poverty, to be raised in poverty, and then ultimately to suffer a most cruel death on Calvary's tree? Why did he do this? Why did the eternally begotten Son of God take upon himself our form and nature? And why did he become like us? Why did he come to this world? He did it in order to save individuals. He did it in order to save individuals like you and I. And here, friends, is something that Christianity will teach us. Christianity will remind us that we are sinners. We are sinners in the sight of God. the Word of God, the Bible, in Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And that means all I can see and all that can hear me this afternoon, as far as God is concerned, He is saying to you and I that we are sinners, and in of ourselves we are not fit for His presence. That's why Jesus came. He came to do something concerning our sin. He went to the cross. He suffered. He died in the room and in the place of sinners. And you may well ask yourself a question then. I know that Jesus died on the cross, but how has that got any connection with my life? How has that got any connection with my sin? How can the fact that the Son of God went to the cross, suffered and died, how can that have any bearing upon my life as a sinner? And how can that help me to stand before God righteous? Well, here is again something unique about Christianity. What is it? It is unique in the sense that Jesus suffered in the room and in the place of others. He suffered instead of others. He became sin. He took upon Himself our sin. He not only took our nature, He not only became like us, but He took our sin. He was punished in our place. And the Christian gospel is, if we believe upon the Lord Jesus, if we believe that He is the eternally begotten Son of God, if we believe that He is the only Savior of mankind, if we believe that He suffered in our room and place, if we trust upon what He has done on Calvary's tree, then our sins are forgiven. What a wonderful statement to say, that that's what the Bible would teach us. That's the very heart and the very life beat of the gospel, that when we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, our sins, which are many, our sins which we cannot count, they are forgiven, and we are reconciled to God through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That truly is glorious. That is marvelous. And the real problem with us is we don't appreciate it. You see, our problem is we don't really realize that we are sinners. We may consider what Christ has done. We may well realize that He went to the cross and that He suffered in the room and place of others. But our problem is we don't realize we're sinners. We don't realize that before God we are sinners. You know, the policeman or the judge can have nothing to say to us. Our lives may well be exemplary. We may well be law-abiding citizens. And it may well be that the law of the land can say nothing against your life. But that's not the way it is for the God of heaven. We have broken His law. What is His law? His law is the Ten Commandments. We have been given the Ten Commandments and we are required to obey them. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me" is the first commandment. "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or in the earth beneath" is the second commandment. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who taketh his name in vain." That's the third commandment. The fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath day. The fifth commandment is, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The sixth commandment, thou shalt not steal. The seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. The eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. The ninth commandment, thou shalt not lie or bear false witness. The tenth commandment is, thou shalt not covet. These are the Ten Commandments, and we are required to keep them. But do you know what the Bible teaches regarding the Ten Commandments? We have broken every single one of them. We break them daily. We break them hourly. Jesus summed up the Ten Commandments by saying this, that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's how he summed up these Ten Commandments that I have just recited before you. And if we take his summary, if we take his conclusion, that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves, if we're honest with ourselves, we had to come to the conclusion that we have never kept the Ten Commandments. Do you love the Lord your God? You don't. By nature, we cannot. We are required to, but we cannot because of sin. The actual fact is, we hate God by nature. We don't like Him. We detest Him. We run from Him. We want nothing to do with Him by nature. We don't love the Lord our God. We don't love the One who made us and formed us. We don't love the One who gives us all good gifts, who gives us health and strength and the soundness of mind, who gives us food and clothing. We don't love that One who has been so loving towards us and who has shown the full extent and depth of His love to mankind when He sent forth His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die in our room and in our place. The Bible says, that famous verse in the Bible, John chapter 3 verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Here God has demonstrated clearly to everyone His great love towards mankind in general when He sent forth His Son, Jesus Christ, to die in the room and place of sinners. And considering that great act of love the Father bestowed upon this world, yet it is true of us that we do not love the Lord our God. We do not. We detest Him and we run from Him. Therefore it is true that we have broken God's commandments. And God commands us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Is this true of you? Is this true of me? We may well ask ourselves, who is my neighbor? Sometimes we might think that our neighbor is only the person who lives nearby us, who lives next door or above or below us. But our neighbor is anyone that we will come in contact with. We are to love them. We are to look after them. We are to do good to them. We are to promote their good no matter what. And I ask you, have you done that? If we're honest, if we're open, if we are sincere, we have to conclude that we do not love our neighbors as ourselves. Our problem is we love ourselves. That's the problem with mankind. That's the problem because we don't love God and we don't love our neighbors. We're so full of self-love. Everything is revolved around self. And this is a terrible sin in the sight of God. Because as I said to you, the first commandment is, "Thou shalt have no other gods before Me." And the reality is, we have a multitude of gods before God. And primarily, the main God that we have is ourselves. We worship ourselves. We worship our ego. We're all out to serve ourselves. We put self first rather than God first. We love self first rather than God. Now you might not think that is a terrible sin, but in the sight of God it is. It is idolatry. "Thou shalt have no other gods before Me." And therefore, this is telling us that before God, before the living God, before the God that will judge us, before the God that matters, we are sinners. Sinners in practice, sinners in thought, sinners in word, sinners indeed all the days of our lives. And the problem with us, the problem with mankind is, we don't realize it. We don't grasp it. We do not really think upon this. We think that God is something just like ourselves, when God is absolutely holy and pure. The prophet said of God, "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look upon iniquity." We'll never get to heaven the way we are. We're sinners, and our sin separates us from God. Heaven is a holy place. God is a holy place. There is only light and happiness and peace and blessedness there. And because of our sin, this is a barrier, and we could never go to that place. That's why Jesus Christ came. He came to deal with this great problem we have, the problem of sin. And that's what He did in Calvary's tree, because God, in His infinite wisdom and in His great love towards mankind, God placed upon Christ our sins. Christ was punished in our place. This, friends, is the heart. This is the very essence. This is what makes the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ tick. This is what makes it comes alive. Christ died in our room and in our place. Christ died for the ungodly. And therefore we're able to offer to you this afternoon, as you hear, as you wait around, we're able to offer you this Savior, and He will receive you. He says to us in the gospel, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That, my friends, is a gospel invitation. That has come from the very lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He bids you today to come to Him, to cast your burden. What is your burden? Your burden is that burden of sin that you cannot deal with yourself. But Jesus can. Jesus can. And He calls you to cast that burden upon Him. And to take His yoke, to take His burden, to follow Him, to trust upon Him, and to look unto Him, that one who is able to save to the absolute uttermost. On another occasion, the Lord Jesus Christ said these words. We find them written in Mark chapter 8, verse 36. And verse 37, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" I think it's true to say today that many people are totally unconcerned regarding eternity. Many people look upon religion, and many people look upon Christianity as for old people. It's something that we might consider when we get older. But at the moment, we're not going to consider the claims of Christ. And we're not going to think about this person. And we're not going to consider His words. Instead, we're just going to live our lives without any reference, without any thought about Christ and about eternity. Well, you know, friends, the Bible tells us that we have something that's absolutely priceless. You cannot put a price on this thing that I'm talking about. What is it? It is your soul. You know, many people think that we're just body, and all they're concerned about is their body, to provide food for their body, to provide clothes, to look after their body, to take medicine if they get sick because their bodies are wrong. And they don't give any thought to the fact that they have a never-dying eternal soul. And in your body is your soul. You are body and soul. And one day your body and soul shall separate. And that's the day of death. That day when that happens, your body shall go to the ground. It will either go in the grave or it will be burnt or whatever. But your soul shall return to God who gave it to you. And the Lord Jesus Christ would remind us, "For what shall it profit of a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And here's our warning from Jesus. He's telling us that we can lose our soul. We can lose that thing that is so priceless that you cannot put a value on it. I know that people talk about artworks, paintings or such like, that they are priceless. They are absolutely priceless, some will tell us. Well, that's not true. They may well be very expensive, and they may well be of a high value. That is true. But if someone came along and offered enough money, they would sell that painting. But every single one of you here this afternoon, you have a soul. But Jesus says that supposing you were able to gather everything that this world could give you, everything, even if you had all the money and all the pleasure and all that this world could give unto you, it would never match the value of your never dying eternal soul. And the warning from Jesus is, you can lose your soul. You can lose it. If you can lose it, surely the question you want to ask the minister is, how can I save my soul? If my soul is so precious, because it will live forever, it will live in eternity forever and ever and ever. If I can lose my soul, how can I save it? Friend, you cannot save it. You in of yourself cannot save your soul. But Jesus can. Jesus can. You must commit your soul unto Jesus. The Apostle Paul was soon to be martyred. He was soon to be put to death because he was a gospel preacher. And he was the one who brought the gospel primarily to the Gentiles. And he went all over the known world preaching the gospel because he had this great commission from the Lord Jesus Christ, who had called him to go and preach the gospel. But he was about to become a martyr. He was about to lose his life after a lifetime of preaching the gospel all throughout the known world. What did he say as he was facing the grave? What did he say? "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day." What had he committed to the Lord Jesus? He had committed his soul. He had cast his soul upon Jesus Christ, and he was confident, although he was about to die, the death of a martyr, his soul would be saved. It would be saved. "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day." Oh, do you have that assurance? Do you have that confidence? Jesus says to us, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Many of you are running after the things of the world. Maybe you're trying to make money. More and more money, so you can buy more and more things, and you hope that you become more and more happier. Maybe you're engaged in the pleasures of this world, of this passing time. Whatever, you're taken up with the things of the world. Well, Jesus says to you, what if you get all the world can give you? What if you have untold riches? What if you're like Bill Gates? Or what if you're like the owner of Amazon, who have so much money that they cannot possibly spend it? Will it make you happy? No. In of itself, it cannot make you happy. And Jesus says, what shall it profit of a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Here you are. How many people are passing by today? every one of you have a never dying immortal soul, a soul that will live forever. It will live either in heaven or hell forever. It is something that is absolutely priceless. Everything that you've got today, friends, everything, even your most prized possession, is nothing in comparison to your soul. And more than that, all your possessions, all your money, all your family, all your friends, everything, one day you will leave them all. You will leave them all behind. But what about your soul? Where will it go? The Bible tells us it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And that day is a terrible day if you don't have a Savior. That day will be a terrible day if you're not found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh friends, we're here this afternoon to bring you the good news of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have found Him to be a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. We have found Him to be a faithful friend. We have found Him as one who has forgiven our sins, who has given us the gift of eternal life, who has bestowed upon His people untold spiritual blessings that He has secured by His life and death and resurrection. And we want you too to know this person. We want you too to have your sins forgiven. We want you too to be right with God. And the only way possible is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus said, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. No one will go to heaven unless they come by Christ. Heaven's doors will not be open to anyone unless you are in Christ. We know there are a multitude of religions, but only Christ can save. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave His life a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. This is the one you must come to. This is the one you must call upon. This is the one you must ask that He might save you from your sins. No other Savior, no other way to heaven, no other way to get right with God, only through the Lord Jesus. No wonder we're out in the street. No wonder we cannot keep this message to ourselves. No wonder we want to tell you about this person, that you might come to Him. You must come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you must have Him as your Lord and Savior. No other can save you, no other whatsoever, only Christ. And you know what? You know what? The Lord Jesus Christ is willing to receive. All the Father giveth me shall come to me, and whosoever cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. If we are truly penitent, if we are truly casting our sins away from ourselves, He will receive us. He will. We're here this afternoon from Partick, Free Church of Scotland, continuing. We hold our services in 2 Thornwood Terrace. That's just off Dumbarton Road, up from the police station. We meet on Sunday, the Lord's Day, at 11 a.m. and again 6:30 p.m. We would love to see you, and we would extend a warm welcome to you all to come and to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. May the Lord bless His word to you this afternoon.